Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chong, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Aloha, everybody, and mahalo. Thank you so much for letting us come in your home tonight on a Tuesday night. This is Professor Gary Lee with the Sport Karate Museum, and I've got a really fun show tonight. But before we get started, I'd like to bring on my producer, Mr. Auntie Beth Jesse Bowen, who's got some really cool things he wants to talk about. I know he's got a big podcast going on pretty soon. Auntie Jesse Bowen?
Hey, sir.
Hey, sir. Tell me about, I know about the other things, and I want to hear about them, but I'm excited about hearing about the podcast. So go ahead, sir. Auntie Jesse Bowen.
Okay, great, sir. You know, a lot of the things that we're doing is really about, you know, motivating the martial arts and motivating the martial artists. So, you know, I made a pledge a year ago that I would share everything that I, all the information that I knew. So this is a part of that. The podcast is called The Power to Live Your Vision. I actually started this podcast in 2013, and we stopped it, and I came across the platform is still up, and we had over 44,000 clicks on the play button.
Wow.
And so I thought it would be good just to bring this back as a support for people as we're establishing, you know, who we are, what we're doing. I'm a certified life and goals coach. And so I'm launching the podcast. It's called The Power to Live Your Vision. And it's sort of like a support group, but providing really great information about, you know, how do you set real goals? How do you attain real goals? How do I think? How do I feel? The program goes beyond just goal setting. It goes into understanding yourself. And, you know, so that's one of the things that we're doing. We're working on a radio show to really what we have here with the blog radio show. So, everyone, you can follow us and keep up with what's going on. So I'm into right now promoting the followership of the program. So what happens is when you go to our blog radio show and you can – there's a link there that says follow. When you click that link – every time we have a show come up, you'll get a notification. So I know Professor Gary Lee sends out a lot of information about what's going on. But, you know, if you like our show and you think it's really great, you want to keep up with what's going on, then go to our website page, the Blog Talk Radio website page, and just click follow, and you'll automatically get a notification. But, yeah, this is just some of the things that we're really – working on. I have a birthday coming up next week. So this is just a personal project of mine. I have some goals that I want to accomplish.
Well, happy birthday, young man.
Well,
what are you doing?
Sir.
Pushing 39, right? 39, right?
67 and proud of it. 67 and proud of it. So, hey, that's great.
There you go. There you go.
What day, huh?
Well, that sounds exciting. And I'm really excited about the fact that you've supported us for 6 years, and we're going to support you always with the book. And tell us more about the book, too. You're going with the second edition now, aren't you?
Yes, sir. You know, we had great success. And, again, you know, we are a nonprofit organization. I've had to explain to some martial artists that we're not a Hall of Fame. You know, our objective is to create a history book that individuals can use to promote themselves in their community, to grow their schools. It's a history book. You know, if you have, you know, you feel that the martial arts has impacted your life and you feel that your story would be of value to others, this is what the book is about. It asks two basic questions. You know, what got you involved in the martial arts, and how has the martial arts impacted your life? Because when today's students and parents, you know, even though we're going through a pandemic, you know, when they come to a martial arts school, they have a reason why they're coming. And more than likely, we have experienced what their kids, their family, you know, they where does one, the ladies or guys? We've already experienced that. So when people publish their stories in the book and share them, it's not about publishing your story. It's about your willingness to share your story and be a part of the growth of the martial arts. So just like with the Sport Karate Museum and the things that you're doing, Professor Gary Lee, you know, the book, the Martial Arts Legends and Pioneers book, you know, we're connected because we're both preserving the history. And without someone doing that, then it's just lost.
Well, I want to say publicly to our listeners all around the world that I want to say a big thank you to Mr. Joe Corley, Reggie Cochran, and you, and my little influence that we had to put Mr. Chuck Norris on the cover. How cool is that? So that means that people that want to be in the second edition, you're going to be on a, I mean, you'll be in a book with Mr. Norris on the cover. Now, you have something else also. You also honor Mr. Benny Yekitis. And it's pretty amazing when you get amazing icons like Chuck Norris and Benny Yekitis. How did you go about doing that to get those people involved completely other than Reggie Cochran, Joe Corley, and, you know, the other people you had? I mean, your intuition to do that is pretty amazing to me. I mean,
well, we started, you know, this really kicked off at the Battle of Atlanta in 2015. And, you know, we produced the first book in 2015. And we were at the Battle of Atlanta. And when, you know, Grandmaster Corley and Grandmaster Smith were promoted to 10th degree black belt, and all the martial artists from all over the world that had known them, it was like a big gathering of people that hadn't seen each other in years. And so out of that came the idea, let's do another book, and we're going to bring everybody together, but we'll get to know about more about them and their biography.
Was that the event that we all received the Joe Louis Eternal Award?
That happened in, I think that we got that in, what was that, 17? I think that was in 17 when we got the award. But it was brought together just because of that event and how much positive energy filled the room. And with all of our events, even our virtual event, you know, the positive energy of people sharing their story, not about their trophies. Now, I mean, I've talked with some martial artists that are very ugly. You know, they've won a lot of trophies. But
I pray for you every day. You understand that? Every day,
sir?
I pray for Master Bowen and Gwen. I pray for you guys. I know you go through a lot of heck. I know you do. It's okay, though. You'll get through it.
Yeah.
By the way, let me share this with you. I got Pastor Bob on the line. Pastor Bob?
Yo.
Will you open my show with prayer tonight and bless the country? Bless Justin Bowen, because he does take a lot of grief, okay, from what he does. And he does a great job, man. I mean, it's amazing what he's done. And just pray for the history generals and you know, I appreciate Pastor Bob. Please.
You bet. And I'd just like to say, those that are ahead of their time or leaders in their field will always take a lot of grief. Always.
Thank you, sir. Take time to pray for our country. Go ahead, sir.
I will. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we come to you this hour asking for your blessing and help as we are gathered here together. We pray for guidance in the matters at hand and ask that you would clearly show us how to conduct our work with a spirit of joy and a spirit of enthusiasm. Give us the desire to find ways to excel in our work as we train and as we work out. Help us to work together to encourage each other to excellence. We ask that you would challenge each other to rise and reach higher and farther, to be the best we can be, always. We pray that you will guide our nation's leaders, and they will put the people of the country before themselves. We ask that you keep all of our brothers and sisters safe as they train, and they hone their skills, and they're taught how to protect themselves and their families. And finally, Father, we ask that you look over Professor Gary Lee as he tirelessly continues to promote the martial arts one warrior at a time. We ask all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. I want to say something to my listeners. I called Pastor Bob 10 minutes before the show tonight, and he did this. I didn't really give him any warning at all. This is something very special what you did tonight, Pastor Bob. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. I enjoy serving you guys and what you do for our art.
Well, you know, the museum appreciates you, and we're going to be, remembering what you did forever. Thank you. Well, as I said, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a great show tonight. In fact, I'm so excited. I'm going to probably ramble throughout the night. I mean, think about it. I've got two of my top black belts in the world. I mean, they've won world competitions. I mean, I've got Dean Piles, and I've got my special guest, Wade Kapatcher, tonight. But I'm going to introduce Wade in a few minutes. But before I do, I've got to introduce my number one sidekick, my co-host, who's been there for me forever. I'm talking about Dean Piles. Dean, are you there?
Yes, sir. Right here.
Hey, man, how you doing? I've got a show tonight. I told you, eventually I'd do a show that's going to knock the socks off of people. Hey, Jay, you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Ladies
and gentlemen, AJ Perry has been my co-host for the past 3 weeks, and we're not going to kick him to the side. We're not going to say, we don't want you just because you're a Yankee Toaster Go guy. Right, Dean? We're going to keep him on. He's going to keep co-hosting, to try to keep track of me and you, because we get pretty wild sometimes, don't we? Well, you won't answer that because I'll jump on you. Right, cool. Well, I'll tell you what, now that I've introduced my co-host, AJ Perry, who is, by the way, one of the best Tung Sudo practitioners in the country. He's out of Cleveland, Ohio. And
that was nice.
I'm bragging about
that was nice.
Why'd you interrupt me for, you Yankee? Why'd you interrupt me for? Dean, teach him some lessons. Okay?
Right.
He interrupted
yes,
me. I was talking about him, bragging about him, and he interrupts me. AJ, I forgive you. You can interrupt me. Okay, go ahead. You can laugh. That's cool. So anyway, my co-host tonight, I've been through this, some that's over with. But I've got some really cool people tonight I'm going to introduce, and we're going to talk about things. But before I introduce my special guest tonight, who I'm really proud for him to take time to be on the air, I want to talk about a man that came to me with a vision. And I got that vision too later on in the year. But he wants to put together a virtual tournament, and the Sport Card Museum is going to sponsor him. Ken Kay, where you at, buddy? You there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Hey, Ken, make sure you kill your background noise because I don't want anybody to miss what you're going to tell them. Now, share with them the vision you have of having a virtual karate tournament without fighting and concentrate on what we're going to do. Go ahead.
All right. Well, my name is Ken Gage. I own Gage Martial Arts, and I met Professor Gary Lee there at the Hall of Fame, or what was it? It was John Natividad wrote. And Gary and I talked about doing some jobs together, and one of them is, with the COVID going on here, we wanted to do a virtual tournament. And it's going to give everybody a few weeks to create a profile, upload a video of their form. And, you know, the judges are going to go through and they're going to look at all these and critique them and kind of grade them. And we're going to try to have, like, first, second, third, fourth, fifth place, and then maybe a grand champion. And we're just hoping that this is a fun turnout. And it was more for giving us all a way to still participate and do something when we can't really go to schools and practice. So we're really hoping this turns out, and we hope everybody likes it. The site is called Gage Martial Arts Tournament.com. And, you know, if you just want to spectate, we offered an option on there for $2. You can go in there and you can just watch all the videos that people are going to be submitting. And, you know, you can even participate at that level.
Okay, guys, I want to share this with you. And this is important because I do everything by word of mouth or by someone I already know and established themselves to be strong in the martial arts. Well, last year, I honored quite a few people, guys. As you know, I honored John Natividad. But there was a lot of people there that were very special, people like Ron Marchini and Roy Kirban and Mr. Algeria. I got to meet some really cool people. John Conway was there. And the neat thing about John, he's an old Kempo man. So it really touched my heart. He introduced me to Mr. Cage, and I got involved with the history of where he came from. And, you know, him being an ambassador, I said, what the heck? Maybe we should try a virtual tournament. I mean, even though there's no fighting, which, as most of you know, is my forte, what I enjoyed the most, but I was also a kata fanatic. So I said, well, I'll support someone that supports someone that cares about everybody. And I know that John Conway and Ken cares about everybody. So that's why the Sport Karate Museum is involved. So I hope everybody, as we get more involved with it, I think we're shooting for what, October 25th, Ken?
Yes, sir. That gives everybody a time to create their profiles, upload their videos, and gives the judges time to start going through over the next few weeks, go through the videos and kind of grade them. So I don't want to say it's not a live one, but it's not like the normal one where everybody is doing it the same day. We have people that are in Africa that were actually in the Olympics a few years ago that want to participate in this. So trying to make it available for everybody around the world, I figured the best way is they upload a video and then judges can go through and critique them.
You know what's exciting to me, Ken? We have traditional weapons, open weapons, musical weapons, choreographed. I mean, I'm so excited about having, because you got to understand where I came from. I remember when there wasn't any kata divisions. There was one kata division, and it was a mixture of everybody. And, you know, it was an amazing time. And then someone or some promoter, whoever it was probably Mr. Corley or whoever, the early guys, Mr. Steen, Mr. Parker, who said, listen, let's have creative forms, open forms, weapons, you know, Japanese, Korean, let's separate Okinawa, because Okinawa and Japanese cry the same thing, right? No, no. Let me hear that. No. Just like Tangsudo and Taekwondo is the same thing, right, AJ? No. No. You know, and then you got the animals like that Dean Piles, who can fight like a maniac but has good kata. I mean, come on, man. He dominated the NASCAR tournaments when he did kata, weapons and creative and empty hand. So, you know, you got a mixture of a lot of people that want to compete, Ken, that want to, you know, show their attitude. And remember, when you think about it, you know, kata now, because they have the creative styles and everything with music and so forth, it's an attitude of creativity along with, You'll have the traditional divisions. You'll have the divisions that the old timers say you can't change. But the creativity of today's society in the martial arts, I want to have the freedom for these people to do anything they want to do. But the judges must understand, they must be open-minded, understand that creativity is what America is all about. And speaking about creativity, Ken, I've got a very special guest tonight. Okay, so you're not going anywhere, are you?
No, sir. I'll be here.
Good. So, anyway, my special guest tonight, ladies and gentlemen, his name is Wade Kirkpatrick, and we go back a long time. He's actually one of my 8-3 black belts, but we go back further. We go back to the 90s when we chased after the MVP of Texas of the Golden Greek Award, and very hard, through hard work and a lot of luck on my side. No luck on his side. He's an animal. He won the adult Golden Greek, and I won the senior Golden Greek at the same year. We're going to talk about it. Wade, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Yes.
Okay. What were you doing? Kissing your wife? I know what you do. Okay. Okay. How's your son doing, by the way?
Good. Thank you.
Is he what sport is he playing? I'm just curious.
All three.
all three, which is football, baseball, tennis. No,
basketball.
What's the third one?
Basketball.
Basketball.
That's what
you lettered in. I remember. So listen, Wade, thanks for being on the show tonight. Now,
thanks for having me.
A little bit about working for Chuck Norris and working through Zendikai and being one of the number one students of the years of Mr. Giffords and the Zendikai group. But you worked for Kickstart out of drugs, which when Mr. Norris started the first schools in the Houston area when we only had a couple schools. And the one thing that you and I had in common, even before you became my student, was I'm a big advocate of what Chuck did. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but Mr. McInville from Gallery Furniture got me the letters of all the letters that Mr. Norris got for Kick Drugs of America. And I presented them with all the shows we did throughout all the schools in the early years. We're talking about the early years. So talk about how'd you get involved with karate, Wade?
Well, we went to go watch a class that Gene Lopez, who is the Olympic taekwondo coach, who used to live a few streets away from us.
So you were young. How old? You were young.
We were about 8 years old. So we went to go watch his taekwondo class.
How old are you now? And I'm just curious. How old are you now?
48.
So that was a few years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. So we
Gene Lopez, go ahead.
We didn't sign up at Gene's class. However, we did sign up at Mr. Gifford's class a little closer to our house.
Yes, you did.
And
God bless.
And we stuck with it.
Every day you did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you stayed with Mr. Gifford to block to Showdown, correct? And you
actually from white all the way to fifth degree black.
Oh, cool. Yes, yes. Now, you also were his number one instructor and helped do the tournaments for Kickers of America throughout the years. Now, you also were an avid tournament competitor. And one of the things that I was bragging about is that in 1997, we pursued the Golden Greek. Now, how do you feel about going after the number one award in Texas?
Well, it was one of my proudest moments, and I was very lucky to actually get to do it with you. We went on road trips every weekend to all 28 tournaments in Texas in the AOK circuit and NBL, and were able to experience a lot of things, compete in all four divisions for the entire year, and we pulled it off, and I won the men's, and you won the seniors, and we had a lot of stories to tell along the way from broken bones.
My son has got the story. Mm-hmm. You and I have the memories, but my son has got the story. You know, he still tells people of all the cucumbers that cut on your throat, your stomach, your chest, and your groin. I mean, crazy time.
No.
You know,
he didn't do that.
But you know what? Wait, I tell you, when did the Golden Greek? I've been interviewed all around the country, and they always ask the same question. What's your most important award that you've won in your career? And I look at them, I tell them directly, it's the Golden Greek, because it says that Texas accepted my attitude. And I'm proud of the fact that you accepted my attitude. And, you know, now tell me, you also were an NBL champion. Did you I wanted to ask you, do you find the NBL fighting back in the time different from the fighting of AOK fighting, which you fought both?
I think AOK was a little rougher around the edges. NBL was more refined. It was challenging. They were both challenging in their own ways. I know in the 96 Super Grands, I competed against Marvin Shelton, who's Alvin Powder's little brother. And I did come up short, but not much. It was a pretty exciting match, and Sherman Oak Raiders were all around the ring, and it was quite a deal.
Well, speaking of Sherman Oak Raiders, I'm going to throw in the fact that I did something, I would call it the impossible dream. We had a Mother's Day tournament on a Sunday out at the airport, and nobody thought nobody would show up. We had over 500 competitors, and I brought in Butch Togasala, which is my teammate of the Sherman Oak Raiders. And at that time, Butch and I were winning everything. We were very lucky. I was lucky. Butch was good. Okay, but I brought in Butch, and I thought he beat the crap out of everybody that I put him up against, which I thought he did until he faced you. What did it feel like beating the number one weapons guy, Butch Togasala, at the tournament that we did in Houston that year? What did it feel like?
Well, honestly, I appreciated his sportsmanship. He was on top of every circuit in America, if not the world. He had won 8 consecutive state titles and been in quite a few movies. And I was training.
He was
the
right
hometown
guy. Steven Seagal movies. Did you know that? He did all the stunt work for Steven Seagal. Yeah.
So he actually motivated me. You know, I tied him several times that year. And I had met him at the Hurricane Nationals, which was Ishmael Robles' tournament prior to that. And so
you
after
remember
a couple
what I
of
did
ties,
the night before? I did him and Daniel Baker the same thing. I called him up 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, listen, I'm Gary Lee, and I'm coming after you. I hung up on both of them.
It was actually one of
that.
The biggest
I did that, yeah.
honors
but
to
they
compete against him.
Yep. You compete against Daniel Baker, which is another animal out of Texas. But Butch was out of California, of course. But, Wade, let me ask you a question. You compete a lot in Texas. Who was your toughest competitor out of Texas?
Well, in Texas, Butch was not from Texas, but Butch was
No, I'm talking about in Texas only. I'm going to put you on the spot because this is parts unknown. You only have 15 seconds to answer. You got to go out and do 50 push-ups. So 15
okay,
seconds.
That's your tournament. I won first place in weapons against Butch, and I also won first place in Korean against Wayne Nguyen. He was also unstoppable at that time.
Okay.
So that was
Kata.
A big deal
I'm
to beat Wayne.
Kata. I don't care about Kata right now. I want to know about fighting. Who is your toughest opponent in fighting in Texas?
I would say it was Chuck Timmons when he told me he wanted to fight a real fighter, and I actually beat him that day. So he got what he asked for.
Now.
And that was at Lightning Sorrell's tournament down in downtown Houston.
Yes, sir. Who is your toughest competitor in kata now? Empty hand first, empty hand.
Well, in empty hand.
I'm kidding. Wayne, yeah, Wayne was pretty darn good, without a doubt.
Wayne was tough. Yeah, then you had William Shelton was always very, very consistent in kata.
He's still tough.
Every single time.
Thanks to Mikado. Did you ever meet Mikado Nishida? That was his sensei. He was at Kata Wars last year. Mikado.
I would even say Moses Williams, who actually won, I think, 3 or 4 Greek awards. After us.
That Kajikipo guy, he was good. He was good, but, you know, I don't know. I have to debate with you about Moses.
Well, you have to remember, respectfully speaking, we did win 37 tournaments in a row. So folks were tough, but we had won for almost 2 years straight at that time.
Well, let me tell you a story, okay? This is just a... It's a Ripley's, believe it or not. Okay. Back in the 80s, George is my best friend now. He's like a father to me, right? But, you know, he didn't really like the fact that I left my boat academy to open my own school. So he kind of put a bounty on me, you know. And I know, it's kind of crazy. So I'm sitting in the bathroom in Austin, Texas, in the Coliseum.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sitting in the stall there, and in comes Tracy Anderson, Moses Williams, I think it was, and Willie Holland.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them goes, I'm going to win that money today. I'm going to knock out Gary Lee. That's what they said. And I stood up, and I realized then that I wasn't just in Texas, but
because I thought everybody was just trying to knock me out because I was in Texas. But people were trying to knock me out because George had a, you know. Anyway, the long story, I lined up back in the day before computers. I lined up and I started leaning on Moses, leaning on him. And D.P. Hill was the center referee.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you what happened during the fight, but I can't do it on the air. But I got to debate you that Moses was good, but he wasn't as good as some of the other people in Texas.
I think, you know, Mike Fillmore had a strong bocata as well.
Yes, Mike Fillmore was good. Okay, let's talk about weapons. Who was Mike Fillmore? Good point. Now, nationally, you got to compete nationally. Who were some of your national competitors that you thought that was really good?
Richie Everidge, Rich Fukumoto, Marlon Pugliese. Or no, Marlon
Pugliese. That's it, Pugliese. It took me forever to learn how to say her name. I still don't know how to spell it. Did you know that she was a Marine? Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, she was the MP in the Marines. That's the truth. That's true.
I really worked hard against Butch, Rich Fukumoto, Richie Everidge. Richie Everidge was one of the guys when we competed that we broke a bow in Nakata.
Now, did you ever meet his dad? You know, his dad was really good, too.
Yes, but remember, we competed and won the Dragon Rock AOK tournament and got first place, and then you and I
Do you remember that? We did two tournaments in one day.
We won two tournaments in one day. One AOK tournament, one NBL tournament. We left the AOK tournament.
That was amazing. I can't believe it.
Straight to the NBL tournament.
Bob Beasley, I remember we rode in the truck with Bob Beasley. He thought we were
crazy.
He did. And then
two tournaments in one day.
Then Linda Denley coached me to first place, and you did, and that was fun. That was fun. Golly,
I don't know if anybody else has done that I've heard of lately.
Not really. Say they went to two major tournaments in one day. And the AOK is the tournament circuit that governed the Texas circuit, and the NBL was the NBL. You know? So most people would never do two tournaments one day, without a doubt. And what we did was, well, it was different. We'll just say that. Somebody might have did it somewhere else. I doubt it. I haven't heard about it. I mean,
no,
and I'm not bragging. I know you're not bragging, but to do two tournaments in one day, you had to be a fanatic or a little crazy. I think we're both. You know, so.
Well, and then after that, we went back to the original tournament and watched Tim Kirby do a full contact kickboxing fight with Ray McCallum.
Yeah, I know.
That night.
Yeah. Tim Kirby, golly bum, one of the best fighters that probably America ever produced, and then his instructor, Ray McCallum. Let's talk about that for a minute. Remember the fight that we walked in and Raymond was butt naked? And I say, Raymond.
Unfortunately, I do remember that.
I said, Raymond, here's a guy that really thinks you're the best, like me, that you're a hero, and would you honor him by signing his bow? And what did he do? Tell people what he did with your bow.
Well, I actually worked with that bow tonight in class. We had class tonight. I still have that bow. And he got his pocket knife and he carved a yin yang symbol into my bow. And that was his signature. And I still have that bow.
Well, for people who don't know who Ray McCallum is, Ray McCallum was the best fighter probably ever out of Texas. He started when he was like 14, 15 years old, fighting in the adult division, graduated full contact. He fought Bill, you know, he fought Bill Wallace rounds of full contact, but he won a world championship. Now, I could brag about him all night, but wait, tell me what you think about Ray McCallum.
Well, he's a Texan, and he was also a motorcycle guy, so, you know, I just really like the way that he... I liked his style back then. You know, we used to talk about all the stories, and he was missing in action for a long time and finally came out of the woodwork and started participating in things again. So it was really cool, inspirational.
Yes, he is. And we've had a lot of inspirational people, and we're going to do that in a few minutes with the Legends Name Game, where I'll do with you and I. I'll say a name, and you have to tell me how you feel about that person in about 2 minutes. But we'll do that in just a minute. Right now, I got to take a couple minutes for a break, Wade. So don't go nowhere, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Mr. Wade Kirkpatrick from Texas, one of the best fighters that America ever produced, a Golden Greek winner, an NBL champion, and just happens to be one of my students. I'm real proud of him. We're going to bring him back in just a few minutes. But right now, I want to bring on one of the gentlemen who is actually in the front lines of this pandemic we're dealing with America, Dr. Reginald Lee. Dr. Lee?
How you doing, sir? How are you doing today?
Good. How are you, sir? God bless you for your work that you're doing. But you're doing something else, which we're a part of, and we'll talk about in a minute. But you're actually a student of the late Rick Wigginton, who is my friend, and your instructor. But you developed something because you trained in Wing Chun and you love the martial arts besides being a doctor. But I'll let you talk to my listeners about it. It's a hologram experience that we're going to work with the portals. But go ahead and talk about it and tell people how to experience it. Go ahead.
Yeah. We have a program called SetVR, Self-Defense Training in Virtual Reality. And it's a platform whereby you can practice your self-defense skills whenever you want. The program is compact and portable, and you can take it anywhere. You can take it when you travel. You can even practice during a pandemic while you're practicing social distancing. You'll be transported onto a virtual reality using a headset called an Oculus Quest, an Oculus Rift. On this platform, a hologram will attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The goal of this virtual reality program is to be able to neutralize a threat or attack that is sudden, unpredictable, and random. You'll be able to practice your skills in evasion, in angular, linear, and circular movements to avoid and to place you in a position of an advantage to neutralize an attack. You're able to improve your timing, your speed, and your accuracy in self-defense, to develop muscle memory, and most importantly, to develop what's called a reflex response to a threat or a stimulus when you're being placed in a life or death situation, to neutralize a threat quickly without hesitation, just like putting your hand on a hot stove. You don't have to think about it. You will just react. And that's what will be happening when you develop your skills in SetVR. We've recently updated our program whereby you can practice stretching prior to being in the experience, meditation, exercise, and a yoga program where you have your own personal instructor in yoga. We've also added, and we'll be planning in the future, to develop different platforms as changing the scenery in regards to a desert scenery or a home invasion. You'll be able to customize your hologram in regards to your avatar, and you'll be able to, and you spoke about virtual fighting. We plan to, down the road, in regards to setting programs, with regards to virtual fighting, whereby a user can confront another user as a controller in virtual reality. So we continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be able to be a future platform for the History Portal. So with that being said, Professor Gary Lee, could you tell the audience about the History Portal?
Well, I'd be honored. First of all, I want to say thank you so much, Dr. Lee, for allowing the Sport Karate Museum to be a part of this. But I remember, I guess maybe 20 years ago or maybe a little bit less than that, I put on a virtual set. It wasn't as nice as the Oculus Quest, but I put it on, and I dropped out of a plane at 30,000 feet. It scared the heck out of me, but I said, this is pretty cool. And then the second time I tried it, they put me in the middle of a fight in 1976 between the British Army and the Patriots. And, you know, the neat thing about virtual reality, you go right into the atmosphere that you create. With that, the mindset, you got to imagine walking into a village of Oriental Flair. And these villages will have storefronts that you could actually go in and learn and purchase various things. But the most important thing is you're getting educated. You're answering questions that deal with the martial arts that teach you about American martial arts, like who is June Reed? Who is Chuck Norris? Where did judo come from? I can go on and on. I'm going to start with like 50 questions. And then you work your way out of the village into the forest, and the hologram appears, which Dr. Lee talked about. And you have to defeat it. And then after you defeat it, Mako, our wisdom warrior, will walk up to you. Now, Mako was a Japanese actor, but he was a martial artist. And he'll walk up to you and you say, I'm going to pick a Wade compatriot. He's going to walk up to Wade, and he's going to say, Wade, are you educated? And Wade will say, yes. And Mako will look at his backpack with all the questions and things he's answered. And he'll say, Wade, I'm sorry, you have to go back. So Wade will have to go back to the village or the forest, and he'll have to answer some more questions. But this time the hologram is a samurai. Now, a samurai with a katana, a long sword, or maybe a wakizashi and a tanto. You have to defeat the samurai with a kabuto weaponry from Okinawa. You get educated, you're learning. Plus, you've answered a lot more questions and you've gotten smarter. Now, Mako appears and he says, Wade, are you educated? This time, Wade says, yes. And Mako looks and he says, yes, you are. And he grabs Wade's hand. He takes you to a gate and the gate opens. There's the portals. The portals are the basically the educational portals that you can walk in of an Alan Steen, a Mike Stone, a J. Pat Burleson, a Rick Wigginton, or a Jerry Smith. These are our first beginning people. And as you walk in, you'll learn the history of the great Alan Steen, the great Mike Stone, the great J. Pat Burleson, and so on, point A to point B. And you've earned the right to learn about them and have fun within their history by learning and competing against the portal and the hologram and learning and getting educated with the questions. So I'm really excited about being involved with Dr. Lee. Did I do okay? Did I explain it okay?
Absolutely. It's terrific. We're excited about the history portal. We're excited about the whole program of virtual reality.
Well, thank you. And I really, you know, ask everybody if you around a virtual reality set like a Dave and Buster's or someplace you can do it, just try it. That's all. You don't have to be good at something. Just try it. That way, when you see the set, VR.app, or you try it out, just go to your computer and type in set VR.app and see what we're talking about. And you'll understand a little bit more. So thank you, Dr. Lee. And every week, you're going to be on the radio show talking about your updates, correct?
Yes, I am. I shall be. Thank
Good.
You.
Now, also, we'll be, you and I and some of the developers will be in Greenville, South Carolina, November 7th and November 6th and 7th at the summit at the Greenville, South Carolina, Hilton Hayward Road Hotel, honoring Sam Chapman. And I'm very excited about you speaking, and we'll actually be able to try out. You'll have an Oculus Quest, and you'll be able to try out the set VR. Is that correct?
Yes. Mr. Shanahan, my partner in this program, and myself and my developers will be there with you, and we'll bring the headsets, and you'll be able to try to be on this platform in virtual reality. We're excited for you.
I'm excited, too. That's November 6th and 7th. Fort Carter Museum presents a summit and the roasting of Mr. Sam Chapman. For information, please call 713-483-0476. And for the information, you may look and find out more about the Fort Carter Museum by going to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com. That's sportkaratemuseumarchives.com. And we encourage you to go to the website and see what we do. We protect the history one warrior at a time. Thank you, Dr. Lee.
Thank you, Professor Gary Lee. Thank you very much.
Yes. Okay, Wade, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Very good. Well, welcome back. I'd like to play the legend's name game. That's something I created 6 years ago. And that's where I say a name, and you got 2 minutes to talk about that person, yay or nay. And I know that I'm not saying, you know, whether you like that person, you don't like that person, you love that person. And I don't care. 2 minutes, because this is called Parts Unknown, and, you know, that's the reason why I do what I do. So don't be shy, okay?
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
I'm ready.
Here we go. Bob Campus.
You mean Mike Campos?
Oh, did I say it wrong? I thought it was Bob. It's Mike Campos? Yeah, Mike Campos. Tell me about him and what's your relationship.
Okay, started martial arts training in 1959, founder of the Zendokai Martial Arts Association in New York with over 5,000 members. For about 40 years, had the Super Summer Seminars Camp up in New York with a headliner seminar instructor. I was able to attend classes because of that program with Fumio Demura, Heidi Ochai, John Fernet, Kathy Long, Christine Brennan Rodriguez, Mike Pombiro, Toki Hill, lots of folks. Just really, really good training, good stuff. And the program continues today.
What is Mike like an instructor? Because I know that he invented Zendokai, but what's he like as an instructor?
Well, his thing is his deal is self-defense. So it's interesting. I've never attended a Krav Maga class, but it's the rage, of course, nowadays. It's a packaged system, from what I understand. It's very self-defense oriented. And this, to me, was kind of a precursor to that. The system was very, very heavy in self-defense, and that's a good thing. So some of my friends that were involved in certain martial arts that were light in self-defense, they would do one steps instead, where there was just a stationary person standing there, and they would have to go around the person like a practice dummy and work on focusing and movement and bridging the gap. They're now into the Krav Maga, kind of like I was into self-defense back then. So
cool.
Okay, that was the deal.
I got another name for you. Chuck Norris.
Founded the Kickstart program. I was one of the first 8 instructors in the program.
I know all that. Mm-hmm. Wait, I want you to tell me what he's like to you. What's he to you? As a friend?
Well, we'd see him twice a year because of the Kickstart program. I think he's really done a positive thing nationally to help students just overall. I mean, he's really like a Nobel Peace Prize type effort. I mean, he's impacted hundreds of thousands of people.
I'm going to put some pressure on you, okay?
Uh-huh.
Gina's going to listen to this show, okay? So talk about your friend, because I know you're friends with him. Talk about he's your friend. So, yeah. Little pressure there. AJ, you haven't said anything all night. What's your problem?
I'm just listening. It's interesting.
Well, you got to be a co-host. You got to talk more. Dean Powell.
You just told him. You told him a minute ago, Professor, not to be saying anything. So he's just not saying anything.
I'm sorry, AJ. I apologize. Wait, I apologize to interrupt you, but I got to keep AJ in order. And, AJ, you got to holler at me every now and then.
Here, I'm talking. Come on.
When we'd see Mr. Norris because of work, it's weird. We'd actually call him Mr. Norris, instead of Chuck Norris or Grandmaster Norris. Like to us, because we worked for him and saw him twice a year, he would check in on his programs, how's everything going. We had formal meetings. It was really cool, but we would call him Mr. Norris, which I thought was kind of, I think it's cool as well,
Yeah, I remember meeting him when I was 14, but his eyes,
hey, Gary,
his eyes are the same. Even at 81 years old, his eyes are the same. Yeah.
Hey,
who's
Taekwondo instructor? Shut up, Gary. Let me talk. My Taekwondo instructor taught.
Taekwondo. Nobody cares about Taekwondo. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Taught a lot of Chuck Norris's classes in Osan Air Force Base when he was coming up the ranks.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very interesting.
That's right.
Yeah, I forgot to say, AJ is Tang Sudo, and that was the style that Mr. Norris did, or Carlos did when he first, you know, first started. And so, thank you, AJ. Now, you actually, say that again, because I missed it. Your instructor or your friend?
Oh, my Tang Sudo instructor.
Sir?
My Tang Sudo instructor.
Oh, okay.
He taught a lot of the classes at Osan.
Now, Dean, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm
okay,
here.
Don't let AJ slap me, but I'm going to ask him a question. AJ, what's the difference between Tang Sudo and Taekwondo? Is there a difference?
Well, it's like the difference between Kenpo and Ishinru. You know, there's a huge difference.
Are you being a smart aleck to me? Or are you telling me?
Sure I am.
Well, it's, you know, I know about
when they formed Taekwondo back in the mid-60s.
Taekwondo.
But it didn't start until 1965. IJ Kim, when he came over here, he was teaching Taekwondo.
Do you realize that's the only AJ, do you realize that Taekwondo, Wade, do you realize that Taekwondo is the only style they say Taekwondo and Taekwondo and Taekwondo?
I imagine in Houston they call it Taekwondo, right?
Yes, they do.
Well,
now,
we've
now,
heard
Wade,
that before.
You can't deny Taekwondo because – I mean, I got a 9th degree black belt in Taekwondo, so I'm proud of it. So I don't know. I mean, that is a thing.
Yeah. Wade, what do you think about Taekwondo?
Well, you know, some of the guys that competed a lot with Texas-based Taekwondo, I get where it's coming from. It became its own deal, to be honest with you.
Did you ever fight Calvin Cross, DP Hill student, Calvin Cross?
I wasn't in his division. I was a little skinnier at that time. But, you know, I think of people like Tony Hatcher.
Way. Yeah.
You remember Tony Hatcher? He had a Texas type of Taekwondo.
Edwards' son. Yeah, I remember Tony. Exactly. Well, I want to throw another name at you. Tony Curros.
He's
one of my history journals, and I know he's one of your best friends. Tony Curros.
Yeah, he's been one of my best friends since elementary school. You know,
talk about him.
He had some of the best natural talent that I've seen. You know, he could go in and score with a variety of kicks, but very little.
But you know what his problem is? You know, Wade, you know what Tony's problem is?
What's that?
He's too pretty. You don't want to hit a pretty boy like that. He's too pretty. He's a pretty boy. Okay.
Yeah.
But I like him a lot. I think he's a class act. You know, he really is. Okay, I'll meet you another name. Garrett Lee.
Well, Garrett Lee is like a family member. You know, he's been to all the events with us since he was like a 3-year-old. And I remember at a lot of these tournaments, I remember at Mike Hill's tournament, he did a kata for like 15 minutes at least, maybe longer, and held everybody's attention, just kept performing and performing, and he's really come into his own now. He's looking really good lately. He always did, but like he's moving into his own zone right now.
Okay, I got through a girl in there, one of my dear friends, and, you know, Linda Denley.
Well, I got invited to go to her dojo in North Houston, back when it was around the Fifth Ward area.
She liked
with,
you a lot.
Tony Mosley.
She liked you a lot. She thought you were very, very handsome. Put it that way. She liked you a lot. Trust me. She thought you was very handsome. Believe me, she liked you a lot. Yeah.
I actually substituted. Yeah.
You did? You did what?
I substituted for her when she worked for Kickstart as well. And then I got to go to a class where the class had Tony Mosley, Derek Wilson, Storm and Norman. They were all in the class, and we had a big circle. There were about 20 of us, and you'd get in the middle, and you had to point spar all 20 before you went out into the circle, and then they put somebody else in the middle. So that was.
Well,
I got to throw
in a producer in here. How about George Minshew?
I was extremely excited to attend and compete in the Karate Olympics that George Minshew produced. That's the first time I tied Butch Togusala. I tied him twice in one day, so I knew that I could do it eventually and win against him at some time, which I ultimately did, respectfully speaking. It was a big goal of mine. But then also when I was teaching at one of Mr. Gifford's dojos, George Minshew opened up a business in the shopping center next door, which I thought was pretty neat, you know, just a random occurrence. And one day while I was teaching class, George Minshew and Zofi Ahmed walked in and watched me teach class. And I never forgot that.
Yeah, Zofi was one of my teammates. We traveled together. Little guy from Pakistan. But he really is pretty cool. He brought in Matsubushi Ward and Dr. Manji to create Bushi Bond. So it's pretty cool. You know, appreciate you being on the show tonight, Wade. It really meant a lot. Now, hey, Wolverine, are you there?
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes,
nice
sir.
No, don't go anywhere. Wolverine, I want to say something to Wade.
He's talking
and Wolverine
to
together. I'm talking to both of you guys. I'm real proud of both of you. You know, you're
thanks, sir.
You're a product of
thank you, sir.
Good martial arts. Wade, you came from Mr. Campus and Robert Gifford, and I got to adopt you. And Dean, you came from the great Joe Lewis, and I got to adopt you. And I don't know why I've been blessed, but I'm really thankful that you guys have come to my life. And it was a real honor, Wade, tonight to talk to you. So I appreciate it.
Well,
but Dean, don't go anywhere. I want you to talk about the project you've been working on called The Coward. It's a movie that stars quite a few friends of ours. And if I don't name them all, tell me I missed somebody. Here we go. Rob Buckland, Castle Sewell, Ernest Catman Miller, Michael D. Pasquale, Billy Newman, Bruce House, Romil Gogels, Ryan George, Ronald George, Mark Shuey, the girl, your daughter,
AJ Perry.
Alex, Heather Piles, AJ Perry. I was going to say, you made me say AJ Perry. I didn't want to say his name right now. You made me say AJ Perry. Why did you do that for? Okay, AJ Perry. And let's see, Alan Kelly. See, okay,
Alan Kelly, Rob Buckland, Ernest Miller, Dan Severin.
Yeah, I was saying Rob
Buckland.
Oh, yeah.
Dan Severin.
Yeah. Okay.
Professor Lee, at one of your tournaments, I was able to do my bow cut in front of Dan Severin. You remember that?
Yes, I do. The beat.
And then Mr. Piles. I also, in New York, attended one of Master Joe Lewis's seminars and got to, you know, just go through his whole workout. And he taught the class. He really worked on a lot of reverse punches and things. I'll never forget that. It was incredible.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
Wade,
that was
Wade,
I'm
New
sure
York.
He found
Don't,
somebody in the room
Wade,
to pick on also.
Wade,
he did.
Wade,
he,
listen,
oh, yeah.
Listen to what Dean's involved with. Dean, talk about The Coward for a couple minutes. Go ahead.
Well, you know, The Coward is an anti-bullying movie. We just revved back up doing our reads tonight, and it was a good read. Everybody had a good time and a lot of laughing. So everybody's just working, like I say, getting ready. It's a different spin on a bullying movie. I think it's really going to be, you know, a big deal whenever it comes out and we get to get back to filming. We'll have to talk with Billy Newman, our COVID expert, here soon to find out when, you know, SAG's going to start releasing everything so we can get back to filming. But, yeah, we're just looking forward to getting back. I know I talked to Dan not too long ago. He was excited. He said he's been taking his mean pills, so he's going to come in really mean. He's my arch nemesis in this. And then Ernest Miller.
Did you know he babysitted Garrett when he was like 7 years old? The Beast.
Yeah, kid. You was telling me about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he play a good bad guy?
He's a great bad guy. I mean, he's a good guy in real life, but he plays a great bad guy. I mean, he's the Beast. I mean, everybody knows how he could get amped up.
See, you're a nice
guy.
Listen, you're a nice guy, but you come across as this guy that, how do you say it? Tell it like it is. Says what needs to be said.
I say what I mean what I say, and say what needs to be said, yeah.
Can you say that three times real fast?
No. I can't say anything three times real fast.
AJ, you owe me a dollar. I'll bet you a dollar he couldn't do it. He can't do it. Okay, I'll give him one more chance. Can he say it three times fast?
Yeah, I say what I mean what I say, and I say what's got to be said. I say what I mean what I say, and I say what's got to be said. I say what I mean what I say, and I say what's got to be said. Bam, pay AJ.
Damn it, I owe you a dollar, AJ. I'm God bless. You beat me. So, anyway, the coward, ladies and gentlemen, starring the Wolverine, the Sheepdog, Dean Pyles. Look for it as we talk about it weekly. And speaking of that, Dean, you're going to perform in Greenville, South Carolina, November 6th and 7th for Sam Chapman's Road. And we're also did something. We postponed the September event for January the 28th and 29th. With the Al Garza Roast, but we're going to do something really special on Zoom. On the September 25th, we'll feature the four leads: Eric Lee, Dr. Reginald Lee, Robbie Lee from Hollywood, who worked on some of the top movies in Hollywood, Scarface, The Pirates of the Caribbean, and a little guy from Hawaii, myself. So the four leads, September 25th, 3 o'clock, Central Time, on Zoom. And then September 15th, got a very special show for Wade. I want you to listen. And Dean, I'm going to have four police chiefs around the country: Roy Kirvin, Mike Sullivan, Mike McNamara, and Glenn Gomboski. So in a two or three homicide detectives and street cops on the street. And we're going to have a heck of a show. That'll be September 15th at the AMAA radio show, just like you're listening to tonight. What do you guys think about that, Wade? All those police chiefs on one show.
Really cool. Really impressive.
That's going to be awesome.
I even got I got thrown a Texas Ranger, don't I, Wade? Because you're affiliated with the Texas Rangers, right? You have a friend or?
No, a great-grandfather.
Okay.
Was a Texas Ranger.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I've got a couple friends who are Texas Rangers. Now, Dean, you're a law enforcement advocate. So are you, AJ. You guys got any friends that are involved in law enforcement other than, you know, I mean, any
Friends that's involved with law enforcement. I train them at the gym, but they're not Texas Rangers, but, you know.
Now, why would you have a Texas Ranger in Florida? Come on, man.
Well, sometimes they take a vacation because we have the most beautiful beaches in the world. So
now,
a lot of times
you'll
find Texas Rangers. And you can tell them who they are because they'll be sitting on the beach with their cowboy boots and a cowboy hat and a pair of cut-off blue jeans. Not very attractive, but, I mean, I guess it looks okay for Texas.
If you're a Texas Ranger in Ohio, I'll be in trouble. You have any law enforcement up there in Ohio, you know?
Oh, yeah. One of my longtime training partners is the police chief over here, local suburb. And he trained for many, many years in martial art. And my best friend, he's a retired FBI agent.
Wow, cool. Well, you know, I've been known to have FBI agents, CIA agents at the Legends. And, you know, I've been very lucky to have a big endorsement of the law enforcement on the Sport Crime Museum. And, you know, one year I was really overwhelming because we honored like 100 law enforcement from Dallas and Fort Worth and Houston. It was really pretty spectacular, headed up by Mr. Roy Kirvin. How many of you guys remember Roy Kirvin?
Well, I do.
Anybody? Don't remember Roy Kirvin, the inventor of the two-point kick?
Yeah.
You guys know that? Because you guys kicked people.
Yes, I remember him.
Yeah, I mean, he invented a two-point kick at the Fort Worth Pro-Am in 1982.
We used to have some of his fights on tape, the ones you actually let me borrow way back then.
Well, you know, he was a judge, AJ. He was a judge, and he was the head of SWAT for a while. He was the guy that went in and kicked the door down. I don't know what you call him. Lead guy, is that what you call him, Dean?
He was a
lead guy.
A judge later on.
Point.
What do you call? Point
guy.
Call
the
point. Okay,
the point guy.
Yeah. That'd be crazy. Besides being a police officer or being involved with a group called SWAT, But being the point guy, walking in kind of crazy, I think. You know? But he said he kicked down a lot of doors. So, anyway, that's Judge Roy Kirvin, the Fort Worth Pro-Am. I mean, he ran that turn for years, but that's where the two-point kick was invented. Now, you know, Wade, were you a kicker or a puncher? Hello, Wade?
I tried to do it evenly. I did have faith in my sidekick.
Are you drinking tequila on the side? Because
no,
I tried
no.
to try it twice and you didn't answer. What are you doing?
No, I'm getting ready.
Are you at home or are you at the dojo?
I'm at home, but I was at the dojo earlier.
Now, the dojo is something that's really unique. You actually worked at a church that every night or the night you teach, you have permission to clear the church out in the sanctuary, make a dojo, and teach there. And you've done that for years. How many years have you been there?
11 years.
Wow.
11
wow,
years.
That's really impressive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I remember going there in the early years. Now, some of those students are still there with you.
Yes, they are. We've run dojos in the past, dude, you know, shopping centers, all the big stuff, and we've had some great times. But, you know, we've kept the church program going. We got some good students. We work hard. We've been training outside since May and spreading out. And in the Texas heat, I'm proud of everybody. We even had an outdoor black belt test. And I told them that was one of the first ones I had really attended, to be honest with you. And I had to tell my students I was proud of them for surviving a black belt test outside in 100 degree Texas heat.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you seen Corey?
Yesterday during class.
Well, make sure he listens to the show so he realizes how important it is being an ambassador and supporting the Fort Clyde Museum, okay?
I'm actually on the call right now.
This is a fun
Corey's
show.
Corey's online now. He's live right now.
Oh, hi, Corey. I hope you're doing great.
Hey, how you doing, Professor?
Hey, Corey. This was a fun show, but here, wait, I'm going to put you on the spot. Name one crazy story about Gary Lee for my listeners. One crazy story. Go.
About you?
Okay, Wade Kirkpatrick, one crazy story about Gary Lee. Go.
Okay, we saw you drive up to the mall when we were teenagers in a convertible Mustang with about 10 gold chains on, and your music was on like level 20. And you got out, and you were. It was the middle of the day, and you were in your gi, like you were in full uniform. I thought it was awesome, you know. I got one more crazy story. We went to a tournament in Tyler, Texas. It was a 10-hour drive, and we had nowhere to stay. And we found a motel because of a bass tournament. All the hotels were booked, so we found a motel, and the motel manager says, I have one room, but let me get the water hose out. And you and I looked at each other like, why does he need a water hose to hose down the room? But we stayed in it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, we had some good times, but I was a little crazy back then, as you said, you know. It is what it is, but thank you so much for being on the show tonight. Thank you, AJ. Even though you're a Yankee, I love you to death. You know that. And Dean Piles, I love you with all my heart.
Yes, sir.
And
love
Pastor
too,
Bob, hung up. I want you to know I appreciate you praying tonight. And Ken, I can't wait for the tournament, and we get more information on it. I'm real excited about that. And Dr. Lee, God bless you, and you stay safe. Okay, on the front lines and what you're doing for everybody. We appreciate it. And as the hologram gets better and stronger, we'll let the people know about it. On behalf of the AMAA Masters of Radio Network and Professor Gary Lee in the Sport Crowder Museum, as we always say, mahalo, aloha. Good night.
Good night.
Thank y'all. See y'all later.
Take care.
Hey, guys.